Okay. Welcome, everyone. And we know that during this time that we are in, we're asked to face so many feelings and so many obstacles and so many emotions that we probably have not felt in our lifetime. And there's tremendous pain that comes along with it, and yet tremendous highs that come with it as well. And in today's class, we are going to explore what it means, the pangs of Mashiach. We talked about last week what the war of Gog and Magog is a little bit on a number of levels, but today we're going to explore what these birth pains are before Mashiach and what the sages actually instruct us and give us advice of what we should be doing in order to be able to contend with all of this turmoil intensity that is going on in all of our lives and in the world. So what we're going to be primarily studying from today is the great work of the philosopher, mystical philosopher, the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal of Prague, Rabbi Yehuda Lowy, was an amazing individual. Some of you might have recognized the name from the golem that he made, a golem. He's buried in Prague. There's many stories about the golem that people know about. And of course, the Maharal was a great rabbi and on many, many levels. But he was a mystic, but he was also a philosopher. And he used this very interesting mixture of philosophy with mysticism. And his work, published in basically the 1700s, really is the basis of so much of the works that were later on they were taken to the next level, we should say, by the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, by the teachings of the Alter Rebbe, who actually quotes him in the Tanya. He's saying, all that I'm getting from the Maharal. And he was actually a descendant of the Maharal as well. And so let's jump in to the topic and what we're talking about today. So the way the Maharal explains the time, which we're in right now, and it definitely appears that that is it. He quotes the Talmud and quoting the Bible, the Tanakh, saying that the pains before Mashiach are like birth pains, and it's getting to the ninth month, and it's right before the baby is about to come out. And anybody that's been or has given birth, and all the respect to those incredible women that have done that and still do that, it's just tremendous pain. It's unimaginable. And being there in 10 of those births, Kenayin Harav, with my wife, and being the doula there, I could say that it is, yeah. I mean, a completely different level of respect for my wife after each and every one of those. But those last moments are excruciating. Those last moments are the most painful moments that we could imagine, that a human, I mean, without an epidural, right? And the Maharal says that what is going to happen when Mashiach comes, when these days are about to ensue, basically there's going to be a new world. The way the prophet says it in Isaiah says, it says that it's going to be a new land. There's going to be a new consciousness that essentially is going to permeate in existence. The Rambam, the Maimonides says that, also quoting Isaiah, that the days of Mashiach are going to be days of extreme knowledge of Hashem, just like the oceans, the water fills the ocean, so too we're going to be imbued with a higher consciousness of knowing and a world of connection, a world of loving kindness, a world of giving, a world of what we call the havda, a world that it's not about me and I, but a world of we, and a world of kindness, of love for the other. And right before getting to that new consciousness, there must be, the way the Maharal understands it, there must be very difficult times, that there must be this time of division, which we call this separation consciousness, which is going on. But this separation consciousness, in truth, was already there at the beginning of creation, on the second day of creation, where there was the division of the higher waters and the lower waters. And our sages teach us that when the higher waters and the lower waters were divided, it didn't say ki tov. It doesn't say good. Why? Because that's the place of machloket. That's the place of division. That's the place of strife. It's the place of separation. And from that place, all negativity ensues. Because on the first day, there was just one. There was just oneness. And the work of man that was created, that was Adam and Eve, right, and all of humanity, is to be there on the sixth day and to go into Shabbat with this unity consciousness, taking the world with all of its components and going into a state of mind of oneness. And had Adam really controlled himself and even in that primordial sin of separation, because that was the separation of the tree of knowledge of good and bad, that separation in the mind, and had they been able to control that and really overcome that urge to partake in that separation consciousness, they would have gone into the Shabbat. They would have gone into a day which is called a complete day, Kula Yom Shekula Shabbat, the seventh millennium, which is what our sages tell us is what we are going to experience on during the days of redemption looks like. It's a day of Shabbat. And so the Talmud gives us a number of tips, a number of things that we should be doing. And if we do that, then we'll be able to withstand these days of separation, which are on steroids, right? So just before we go into that, there's a song that said that there's a song that is sung by many on Motzei Shabbat after Shabbat is over, when we come from that place of oneness, right? It's the song starts, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, the one that separates holiness and the weekday, right? Yarbeka, he should forgive us and he should multiply us and whatever. And one of the stanzas there, it goes like this, Hamavdil ben Maim Lemaim, the one that separates, that separated Maim Lemaim, water to water, right, should safeguard us from Yomaim, from that day, which seems like it's 2 days. And it's borrowing on a verse in the Tanakh, in the Tanakh that says that it's a day and it's not night, and it seems like it's 2 days going on over here. And the way this song and the author of this song was a great thinker, a great mystic, understood it, that there's a day that is called 2 days, a day that is Yomaim, a day of 2 days. What does that mean, a day that's 2 days? Like a day is one day. So we're going to see this inside, but the Maharal tells us that every day, Yom, has a purpose to it, it's supposed to have a clear inherent purpose of in it, and something that has been accomplished in that day, right? We go through our days, and it says that the Talmud actually laments and bemoans a person that cries over the loss of damim, which is money, and doesn't cry over the loss of yamim, which are days. And he says that money can be retrieved and could be remade again and re-earned, but people are crying all about that, but they're not crying about their days, yamim, because every day is a day that is supposed to have inherent purpose in it. And essentially, the Maral explains to us that the days before Mashiach are so confusing that we don't understand the purpose, really. Like, we don't understand what's going on. And it seems like it's 2 days. And it's going back to that second day of creation where there was the separation of the higher waters and the lower waters. The higher waters and the lower waters is that fragmentation of good and bad. It's the only day of creation where it doesn't say tov, vayar elokim ki tov, vayar elokim et, right? It doesn't say vayer vayivoker yom sheni. It was the second day, but it was separation. So we're going to take a look over here in some of the words, the incredible words of the Maral of Prague on this subject. So let's see what he says. Bizman ha-melech ha-mashiach she-igale b'meir ve-amin, during the days right before the Mashiach is going to be revealed in the world, before his kingship, this kingdom, this before this, you know, world peace happens, essentially, there's going to be the war of Gog u-Magog. What's going to happen there? We discussed that last week. Shekola umot yalu alav le-milchama, that all the nations are going to surround the Melech HaMashiach, until the Mashiach is going to finally be victorious. And then there will be unity in the world. There's going to be the revelation of the Melech HaMashiach. The inyan milchama zot sheyeh min gog u-magog, ki kasher ein ha-mashiach b'madrigato ha-achrona, and this war of gog u-magog is basically saying that when Mashiach is not in his rightful state, shekol davar ba'olam mitchilat mitziuto einu b'malato ha-elyona, because everything in creation is not at its optimal level. And we could definitely concur to that right now. It's not, we're not, you know, things are not on their optimal level of morality, of moral judgment and goodness and kindness, etc. So the world is lacking, and mipnei kach, and because of that, the world needs to sort of shuffle up and get their act together so that Mashiach can be revealed and this world of goodness and kindness and unity could finally happen. But for that to happen, we need to be shaken up. And the Maral says, one second. Skip that. Yeah, the Maral says that during those days, we're going to have, again, it's a new world that's going to happen. It's just like a newborn baby that's coming into the world. It's a newborn consciousness that's coming into existence, right? So we're coming from a day which is divided into two. It's called the 2 days. We're coming from a time which is exiled consciousness into a day which we're seeing the light, we're recognizing that something is happening, absolutely, right? You have to be a fool not to recognize that something is being birthed into the world, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. So it's 2 days. And there is, again, those birth pains. So regarding that, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sanhedrin, page 98, Amar Ula. Ula was a great, what we call Amora, a great Talmudic rabbi. And he says, Yete, let Mashiach come, velo achmene. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to see him. In other words, like, he saw what is going to happen, the craziness, right? This tumult of the world. That's going to be, says, let him come. But, like, I'll be rooting, like, from the cheerleader team or whatever. V'chein amar Rabba. Rabba also said that. Yete v'lachmeni, two of the great Amoraim. And according to some opinions, Rabba was actually a Tana. Then Rabbi Yosef says, amar yete, let him come, Rabbi Yosef says. V'eske v'etiv, and I will sit and be betula de kufte de chamre. Now, these are not such pleasant words that Rabbi Yosef says. He says, let him be here. And I will suffice by sitting by the dung right? By the poop of the donkey of Mashiach. That's what he says. So we've got three sages. Two of them say, let him come. We want him to come. We don't want to see, we don't want to be there. It's just going to be too much, right? And the third one, Rav Yosef, says, let him come, and I will be sitting by the poop of his donkey, right? Sorry, I don't know how to say it differently. Amar le Abaye le Rabba. So Abaye says to Rabba, my taima, like, why are you saying this? Like, why are you saying, let him come, and you won't be there? So his student asked him that. Mishum chevlo shel Mashiach, are you worried about those birth pains of Mashiach? Are you worried about them? That Tanya, we learned this in a Braisa. We learned this in the Gemara, tells us in a earlier source. Shalu Talmidav et Rabbi Eliezer. They asked the two students of Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol, who was the great Rabbi Eliezer, the teacher of Rabbi Akiva. They asked him, Mayase Adam v'inatzel mechevlo shel Mashiach. What should a person do and be saved from the birth pains of Mashiach? Yasuk b'Torah uv'gmilut chasadim. They should be involved. A person who wants to be saved from these birth pains should be involved with the study of Torah and of charitable good deeds. End quote. Right? That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. And filling the question, so Abaye says to his master, Rabba, his teacher, Mar ha-Torah v'agmils chasadim. You have both. You have both learning of Torah. You are an exceedingly wise rabbi, and you have good deeds. You're involved in charitable giving and doing and helping. So he said, Amar Shema Yigra Machet, but maybe my sin, anything that I do wrong, and we know that Rabba actually in the beginning chapter of Tanya thought that he was a Beinoni, right? And he said, like, oh, maybe I'm not really there. And we know the only reason why Rabba actually was taken, died, is because the angel of death actually, he was constantly learning Torah, made a little bit of a rustle in the trees. And so for a split moment, he stopped learning and then he grabbed him. So he says, you're constantly learning Torah. You are giving, you are good. So what are you worried about? You could handle it. You could go into Mashiach times, right? Not a problem. And he says that perhaps I, you know, have messed up. You know, I made a mistake, or I'm not on the level that I should be, basically. And the Gemara just goes on a little bit more on this, and I just want to go into the incredible words of the Maharal on this, that he explains to us really what's going on over here. So there's a third opinion, again, asked why you don't want to be there, right? That this, or the second opinion, or the person, why don't you want to be there? So he said, because, you know, I know that I am able to fight a lion or a, and this is quoting the Tanakh, that somebody that is injured by the lion, they can handle the lion. If they're injured by a bear, now they know how to fight the bear, but here it's like a new animal. So he's like, I don't know how to fight it, basically. And that's what's going to be in the days before Mashiach. There's going to be a new animal, right? Literally. So what did, and we're going to explain what he means by that. And what did Rav Yosef say? So he said, let me be there. I want to be there, but I want to be sitting by the dung of the donkey of Mashiach. Now, the Maharal says, what is he talking about over there? That's not so flattering. So he says that the world, there's the physical world that we're in, Olama Mashiach yenivdal biyoter, the world of Mashiach, the consciousness is going to absolutely shift. The Amar, she'im lo efshar li liyot ima Mashiach, liyot ima b'amala hagdola shelo, says, if I cannot be on the high level that Mashiach is going to be in the world, she'az bevada yikna adam ma'ala Eloki, because at that point, we are going to upgrade to a higher spiritual level. I mean, we're seeing this with AI, with VR. People are like, oh, it's all technology. But if we understand that technology could work like that, right, and in such incredible ways, we should understand that that is all an indication that we could be upgraded spiritually. Because if it's happening technologically, then it's certainly happening spiritually. And so that's what's going to happen when the world comes. So Rav Yosef says, or the Maharal rather explains Rav Yosef, that there's the world of Mashiach is going to be a complete upgrade. So if I'm not going to be able to be on that level, then you know what? I'm fine with preparing for it or just be there while all of it is happening. And while I'm, I guess, getting the upgrade, I'm sitting there with the dung, with the poop of the Mashiach, of the donkey of Mashiach. I'm fine with sitting in the dung, meaning, what does that mean? Klomar be'inyan achor mi shelo ishtatef, ve'lo inyan achamor, rak ima yotze min achamor shem. He's like, you know what? I am happy to be physically involved in the coming of Mashiach and what needs to happen. I'm going to be there. I'm going to help cook. I'm going to help sweep the floors. My aunt and uncle that just made Aliyah after years and years, they're volunteering in some huge soup kitchen in Jerusalem with hundreds of incredible people. And they're on a whole, there's a whole line of what they're doing. And you see that they're all, that everyone is doing their little thing. Everyone is putting, you know, the tomato inside of the bag, and the other one is putting this thing up. The other one is, it's like thousands of meals are going out, and it's physical. And that's what Rav Yosef is saying. He says, I don't know, Mashiach is going to come. It's going to be intense to get that upgrade. But you know what? I'm brave enough to be in it and to sit in the dung, by the dung of the Mashiach, meaning not even the donkey of Mashiach, it's the dung of it, of the Mashiach, this donkey. And why? Now listen to this. The Maharal says, because if that's the case, I know that I'm in that generation. I'm in the generation of Mashiach. B'mishu b'dorim ha-Mashiach v'ikne ma'alai lokit. Just in the merit of being in the generation of Mashiach, we already have the incredible ma'ala. We already have the incredible level of being in this generation. We may not feel like we're on the level, quote, and those holy soldiers that are there on the front lines and giving everything up, literally, they're on the level. Right? They're on an incredible level. And people throughout the country that are volunteering, that are giving, that are connected, that are united, and abroad in the diaspora, every single Jew and righteous Gentile is in this, in the dung of the donkey of Mashiach. That's what Rav Yosef says. I want to be there. And it's fine by me if I even am in the trenches and I'm there and I'm feeling the intensity of sirens, just like happened today, right? In the middle of things. And this is happening day on and day for the people of Sderot and the people in the center of Israel and abroad in the diaspora, with craziness which is going on with marching and all types of craziness happening on the media, biased media, social media, quote unquote, intellectuals, influencers. You know, it's the birth pains of Mashiach. And Ula and Rabba said, I don't want to be there. It's just too hard. And Rav Yosef says, I want to be there, even if I'm sitting in the crap, excuse my French, and I'm withstanding, and I know that I'm in this generation, and I know that I'm all together with my generation, and I'm getting that upgrade, that's good enough for me. I want to be there. Sign me up. That's what Rav Yosef says. Now listen to what the Maharal keeps on saying. V'ka'amar le'abai le'rabba, de'amar yesev lachmine, ile mishum chev le'mashiach. So he basically says, he asked him, why don't you want to come? You should want to come. Why? Because what do we say before? In order to be saved from the Chevle Mashiach, from the birth pains of Mashiach, if one is learning Torah and is involved in kind deeds, that's the way Rabbi Eliezer tells us to be saved from the birth pains of Mashiach. And Rabba had those. So what's the problem? Now the Maharal explains what is the aspect of these two tips, right, that Rabbi Eliezer tells us. So the Maharal tells us, kimitziat olam hazeh, that the reality of this world, hem shnei dvarim, there are two. We have the reality of this world. And the Maharal basically says this all over his work, and this is he says it's materialism. There's material, there's the physicality, which he calls it gufani, the body, and then there's bilti gufani, there's a spiritual. Basically, we've got the spiritual component and we've got the physical component. V'davar yadua, it's a known thing. V'chasha adam u'bal gmilut chesed u'bal Torah ve'osek be'elu shneim u'mitchaber betov v'chol shnei chalakim. We know that if someone is both learning Torah and is involved with chesed, with giving, then that person is what? Is connected to the good. Is in line, is in the spiritual, we could say the frequency of good, is in that flow of goodness, right? And he explains, Ki Torah, Hi Tov Bilti Gufani. What is Torah? That Torah is the spiritual component. Ki Lekach Tov Natati Lachem Torati Al Ta'azovu. So the Torah is the spiritual component. When we are connected, when we're learning, spiritually in line with what Hashem wants from us, then we're connected to that spiritual good. And what is gmilut chasadim? What is kindness, right? What is that about? Hitov gufani, that is a physical good. Why? What does a person do when they do chesed for someone else? When they are involved in charitable deeds? When they volunteer? When they give charity? When they do something for someone else? What happens over there? Their body is involved in that. It's not just in theory, it's not just the spiritual, but the body becomes involved as well. Ki bnei adam, because what you as humans, we need both. Because we're a body, bale guf, tzrichin ze lazeh, zeu inya gmilut chasadim, v'ish kazeu tov legam, because we need both the spiritual part of ourselves, right? And we need the physical part of ourselves. And he says that if anyone is just one component, basically either I'm just this, or I'm just spiritual, or I'm just that, says it's good, but it's not safe proof, right? It's not completely. The armor isn't there, right? It's not for sure. Why? Because then you have both aspects. We have tov l'shamayim v'tov l'briyot. You have good for the heaven, that's Torah, and good for the people. V'chasher hu tov, when the person is good, meaning the person is whole and complete, then what happens over here? Then that person now comes out of this birth pain. Why? Because Chevle Mashiach, the birth pains of Mashiach, what is that about? Umitzad Hashinui. There is a change which is happening in the world. V'zeu inyin Chevle Mashiach, v'chol shinui eino tov, aval ura. All change is not good, meaning we're talking about psychologically, he's saying over here, philosophically, we'd say any change for a person is difficult, is hard. Right, one of the biggest reasons why people fall into depression and things like that is one of the indicators that are always asked: Did you move? You know, when we move locations or we move houses or even jobs, there's the unknown, the unpredictable, which is there. Right, we're coming from a place that we've lived in, that we're comfortable in, that we know. And then we go to a place that we don't know. What's it going to be like? Who's going to be there? Am I all of these unknowns? So he says, the shinui is ra. The shinui is difficult. And so what's going on over here? Someone that's connected and is in the frequency of all of good. Because then it's connected to the Torah, which is the spiritual good, and the gemilut chasadim, the give, the loving kindness is the physical good. So then, what will happen? Then you will be saved from the chevle mashiach, which is called ra, which is called separation. Again, going back to those 2 days, it's a place of separation, the place of the unknown. And if the person and in that place of the unknown, that separation, it's very hard to hold on to what is actually happening. I just want to mention that the holy Ruzhner, Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, the grandson of the Maggid of Mezrich, who was a student of the holy Baal Shem Tov, said at the days before Mashiach that what is it going to be like? It's going to be like a rope that is down in the world, right? And that rope is going to like literally like be like swung around, and whoever holds onto the rope is going to be able to make it, like holding onto the rope. But if we could imagine, okay, and it's turbulent, and it's very descriptive, and it's like, I remember when I read this like years ago, I was like, whoa. But it's like, you know, holding on to that rope is this is in a way what the Maharal is saying over here. Whether it's not a physical holding on per se, but if we're holding on to that intrinsic good that is found within us, right? Not just from the recognizable part of ourselves that is easy for me to express as good, because that's one aspect that I'm more used to, but both aspects and the contradictory aspects of what good is, meaning both the spiritual part of myself and the physical part of myself. And that is very, very key, what the Maharal is saying over here, because only by having these two midot, these two aspects of chesed and emet, as King Solomon says, Ichupar Avon, that only through chesed, which is loving kindness, and emet, which is Torah, then the avod and the sin will be forgiven. But what it means over here is that there's a contradiction. And so I'd like to just deepen this idea, and for us to maybe delve into what the Maharal is saying on a more of a personal level for us that we can take away from here. You know, we've been living in times for the last 10 years, at least, not more, where this division has become so pronounced that it just became unlivable. Like, it's like not possible for this to really go on. And why is that? Division is basically the idea that I am either a Republican, or I am a Democrat, or I am a, you know, for this party, or I'm for that party. And we associate who we are based on our hats, based on the way we dress, the way that we wear things, the way that this and that. And we basically wedge ourselves in one direction, and we become limited by that one direction. We're like, I am that. No, I'm not like them. They're that. And they're, you know, basically holding on, trenching. Everyone is like in the trench, you know, looking at the other, you know, holding on and protecting themselves. That's 2 days. That's called Atzilenu Miyomaim. Those are the 2 days that we're talking about over here. There's the 2 days of feeling like there's me and then there's the other. There's me, there's Tel Aviv, I'm just giving the example from Israel, and there's Bnei Brak. There's a religious and there's not. Well, Israel is called the startup nation, right? And there's more high tech over here than only second to Silicon Valley in the amount of incredible ingenuity that's going on over here. But Israel has always been the spiritual startup nation, right? We're a spiritual startup nation, the Holy Land, which everyone knows. All you have to do is go to the Bible and like everyone knows that. And that's what's being contested, right? The Temple Mount and whatever Jerusalem, the Al-Aqsa, whatever. It's contested. Avraham Avinu, 3,000. Exactly. Even before the Palestinians were here, the Avraham Avinu. Yep. Our history goes back. So
700 years.
Yep, we could trace that. So,
we had
Rachel gives birth, she dies, and Benjamin comes.
2 weeks ago, no?
Yeah, well, so I just wanted to go back to this division that at least is felt here in Israel and abroad in American politics and everywhere else in the world. But basically, we have our spirituality and there are those that are more connected or inherently connected to that spirituality. You call them conservatives. You can call them whatever you want to, coin them. And it's obviously not accurate per se, but and then there are those that are more involved in the physicality, in the doing, and in the creating, and the ingenuity, etc. There are two parts of we could say of our society, at least here in Israel and abroad. It's in different ways, but similar. But what is important to remember is that for Mashiach to come, basically, we've got to be both. In other words, we have to come out of ourselves. What does that mean, coming out of ourselves? I'm not either spiritual and I'm not either a tech person or a physical type of person doing gemilut chasadim, being involved in chesed. We need to be both. In other words, that's the way God made us. And there's a beautiful teaching of what makes a kosher animal kosher, right? So kosher animal, besides being slaughtered in the right way, right? But a kosher animal needs to have split hooves. And what's split hooves? Split hooves is these two parts of ourselves. And what do we do? What do we do with the split? What are the split hooves? What do they teach us? It teaches us that for a kosher animal to be consumed, there must be the perspective taking of both sides, not just one direction. In other words, not just like one hoof, which is like one directional, which is saying, I am this, I'm that. No, that's chaya gasa. That's not a kosher animal. That's something which is, it's not, that's not it. But what's a kosher animal, the Rebbe teaches, it's split hooves. It needs to be both chesed and gvura. It needs to be both kindness and strictness and din. What? Yeah, that's. I'm not supposed to. Yeah, but we need to have these two parts exactly. But we're giving that blessing like that to the Am Yisrael, which are the nation of three, and we're basically Yaakov, which is channeling Avram and Yitzchak. We're Bnei Yisrael, that we're able to incorporate both Abraham energy, which is chesed, and Yitzchak, which is emet, right? Bechesed ve'emet yichupar avon, that only with the two levels. So going back to what Rabbi Eliezer Gadol says, ma yase adam, what should a person do? V'inatzel mechevlo shel Mashiach, yasok b'torah, u'gmilut chasadim, should be involved in both Torah and gmilut chasadim. And the Maharal tells us, once again, that what is good, both Torah is good, and gemilut chasadim and loving kindness is good, but it's not enough just to have one and not the other. You need to have both. In other words, you need to come out of yourself. We need to come out of ourselves. We need to face ourselves in places and in times that we thought that I can't. Well, now you've got no choice. you've got to face yourself, because if we don't, if you don't face yourself, then you'll face yourself even worse, right? And standing up courageously and basically saying, I'm both and I can do both. I'm not just limited to this level, but I could also be in this space and doing both. And I could tell you that just here in Israel, just seeing like the energy which is going on. So there are so many soldiers and people here in the land of Israel, which are taking upon themselves the wearing of putting on tefillin and tzitzit and keeping Shabbat and lighting Shabbat candles and taking on more mitzvot. People that are secular, that you'd say even a month ago, they would say, I wouldn't believe it. You know, there was a very secular doctor that, what, you know, he put on tefillin. He's like, I've decided that I want to put on tefillin today. And he was interviewed about it. And he was like, the amount of
emotions,
what's going on, I really needed to borrow. I really need this. I need this, right? And this person is one of the best surgeons. What's that?
He said that he cried.
He cried, yes. And he cried. And many, many, yeah. And many in exactly, very secular, and you could say even a month ago, anti-religious and anti-whatever. But he's one of many, many, and in the fields and in the soldiers that are there, they're unbelievable. They're saying, we're gonna fight, but like, give me the spiritual tools. Give me the tehillim that I could put on. Give me the tzitzit that I could put on. You know, give me the what can I do? Pray for me. You know, do. And that's that spiritual fit. And then on the other hand, you know, we're looking at the religious communities, the more of the Haredi, ultra-Orthodox, many of them are now wanting to go into the army. And many of them are cooking and singing and buying tefillin and buying plane tickets. There was a very charitable Orthodox Jew in New York that paid for 90 tickets for soldiers that wanted to go back to Israel. He put it all on his credit card. And so many donations and giving, again, charitable giving, the chesed. And we're seeing that the people of representing Torah are now actively involved in what? In giving.
Making food on the fire.
Making food, making barbecues. Barbecue. My neighbor, every single night, they have barbecues for over 1,000 or 2,000 soldiers. And it's already decided even a month from now. They have sponsors for this, and they put out about like 10, you know, barbecue grills. And I mean, they really try to boost the morale of these soldiers that are...
And something more.
Connecting.
Right.
There's trucks with washing machines and dryer and they're doing their laundry for that. I mean, just it's amazing. We're seeing this. We're seeing this, but we're not but we're not like even like understanding. And with understanding over here, what the Maharal is telling us, we have an inkling a little bit more that what is, you know, some of you may have heard this saying from Rabbi Eliezer. What should a person do to be saved? They should learn Torah and they should do chesed. Okay. But the Maharal tells us, what does that mean? It means that only if we mix the two up together, then we're able to reach true goodness and be able to be saved from this craziness. Because the craziness, the turmoil, is only because there is the separation of I'm only this, or I'm not capable of doing that. Saying, no, I'm able to do both good, and that's the true good. And therefore, you'll be saved. That negativity is not going to, it's not in the frequency. You're not worried what they're saying on social media. You're not worried what those, you know, idiots in CNN or whatever, BBC or whatever it is. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm triggered. It's like, no, those are lies. And I know that we're going somewhere and we're getting that upgrade, and it's not going to help us. It's not going to help me to be in that negative mind frame. Right. And to overly consume that negativity, because that's not effective. What is effective? It's the learning of, it's the spirituality, it's the learning of Torah and the giving that we do. So continuing on a little bit more. So Rabbi Yochanan says, let him come, and I don't want to be there, he says. Right? So he says, why? Because it's like the example that there is going to be, someone is able to fight the lion and somebody is then able to fight, we're successful in fighting the bear and they did that. So in our past history, we're like, okay, I had that. Could probably do this. But Rabbi Yochanan says that over here, we're going to reach a place because this coming of Mashiach is so exponentially beyond, he says, we're not going to have really that much what we could pull from. I mean, we could, you know, it's like, it's very difficult because there's so many changes that are happening. So he says, I don't want to be there. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. And again, Ula says that, and Rabba says that. The only one that says volunteers is Rabbi Yosef. Says, I want to be there, and I want to be in the with the donkey of Mashiach, because I want to be in that generation. And the Maharal again tells us that just being in the generation, even though it's smelly and it's difficult and it's hard, just being there is amazing, is good enough. So the Talmud says in a different place in Tractate Shabbat, page 118. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says, "I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol haMekayem Gimel Seudot b'Shabbat. Anyone that eats three meals, literally, but it doesn't just mean eating the three meals of Shabbat, but it means that they're keeping the sanctity of Shabbat. Nitzol miGimel Pur Anuyot will be saved from three types of negativity, which will ensue. Mechevlo shel Mashiach, umidina shel Geinom, imelchemet Gog umagog. So mechevlo shel Mashiach, what's the birth pangs of Mashiach? Ktiv hacha yom, it says over here yom. Uchtivata minei anuchi sholach lachem et Eliyahu Navi, lifnei bo yom Hashem. Right? And it says about the war of, it says yom over there. So the yom is by Shabbat. It tells us hayom. You should eat the meal hayom tochlu. Right? It says that three times. So we will be saved from that day which is called yom, and we'll have that if we have that right. And the second was midina shel geinom from purgatory, from that intense ketivah. So it says not going. Not relevant right now. And milchemet Gog u'Magog ktivacha yom. It says by Gog u'Magog day. Uchtiv hatam. It says in, we learned this last week in Yecheskel. It says beyom bo Gog. It says the day Gog comes. So it says yom by Shabbat, and it says yom by the war of Gog u'Magog. And we learn from there that the keeping of Shabbat saves us from this intensity, from the intensity of the birth pangs of Mashiach and the war of Gog and Magog. So Maral says, why? What's the inner reason for this? Right? What's the inner reason? Ubir inyun ze, ki ha-shabbat, more she-Hashem yitbarach bara et ha-olam bishlemut ve-ein chisaron bo. What is the Shabbat? God created the world, teaching us that every Shabbat we're there. And we sanctify the Shabbat, we make Kiddush, we say, God, you created this world. Everything is you. You created everything. You created a beautiful, perfect world. It looks like there's separation, looks like there's this and that. But Hashem, every single detail, everything you created is mamish perfect. You created it all. Ein bo chisaron, there's nothing. V'ra'uy al ze liyot one kara'uy. And because of that, a person needs to feel the feeling of what? Of oneg, of pleasure. Wow. Shem, you created this whole entire world. Created the whole entire world. The Gemara says, even Chayav Adam Lomav Bishvili Niva Olam. How beautiful is the world that you created? Right? Again, on Shabbat, we turn off all of our technology. We turn off everything, and people that even are not aware or not even Jewish, they're like, that's a brilliant thing to do. Mm-hmm. But the only way we could access that, yeah, the only way that we could access that inner feeling of Shabbat, the oneg of Shabbat, is by recognizing that outside it may be like, whoa, what's going on over here? Chevle Mashiach, Gog Magog. But then on Shabbat, you know what? What do we do on Shabbat? We take that cup of kiddush, and we say Vaychula Shamayim Vaas. We say Hashem, it's everything is you. You created a perfect world, and Vekarata Shabbat Oneg. We have pleasure in that because we know that it's you. We know that there's Baal Abira, there's Yesh Baal Abayit. There is a boss to all those mishugas, to all the craziness which is in the world. Because when you feel that pleasure on Shabbat, regardless of what is going on Friday afternoon, when we step into Shabbat, Bekarata Shabbat Oneg, it's like we're stepping into unity consciousness. We're stepping into oneness. While the 6 days and exile is separation. But on Shabbat, we walk into the Shut Hayachid. We go into there, right? We have an Eruv that surrounds us. We're surrounded by that unity of Hashem. We can't be in the Reshut HaRabim, in that multiplicity, in that craziness, right? And where do we go? Va'olam haya bilti shlemut b'gimel panim. Ha'echad im haya b'riyat tosefet davar ze nechshav lechesaron. V'ashenim haya chisaron mamash b'b'riyah. V'ashlishim lo nishlema b'riyah etamid havaya chadasha. So he says that basically in three ways, the world would seem imperfect, right? Because on Shabbat, what is essentially happening is that it's revealing that the world itself has the perfection innately in it. Whereas it's hard for us to recognize that because we may get distraught and give up hope, chas v'shalom, right? Yeush, which is there's a Gemara Talmud says in Ketuvot says that that there was this lady that came in front of the rabbis and they didn't want to let her in because of what she was saying, and she said, my grandmother had 318 servants, you've got to let me in. And 317. And the Maharal actually explains this in a different place. We're really going into the Maharal today. Explains what's going on over here in this machloket of what this lady was saying. He says that who is she referring to? She's referring to Sarah Imenu. Sarah Imenu, and what's the gematria of Yeush, right? It's 317, and says that my grandmother had 317 servants, meaning that my grandmother Sarah didn't give up hope, although she was 90, although she thought this was going to go on, that was going to go on, they were going this and that through life. But because of holding on to what she was doing, her belief, it was as if like she didn't have the Yeush, so it transformed. So therefore, and it doesn't matter what she was saying to the rabbis over there, but she was saying like, basically, I'm not giving up hope because my people don't give up hope. And this runs in our DNA. This runs from Abraham, from Sarah, from Isaac, from Rebecca, from Rachel, from Jacob, and etc. It's like we don't give up hope. We know that, and knowing that within creation, there the perfection is already there and it's waiting to be revealed. That's what happens on Shabbat, right? The Shabbat is revealing to us that God already The world is already there. And it just takes Shabbat for us to experience it while we go into the week. It says, Al tira Yaakov, don't fear Yaakov, because we go into a place of, oh my God, right? Yaakov goes in, and there's another song which is sung on Motzei Shabbat, Al tira Yaakov, right? And we go through the aleph bet of the fear, don't fear Yaakov, with an aleph, and so on and so forth, because we feel that multiplicity once again when we're in the week, but we're in Shabbat, we don't feel that.
Is the world built by Chorof or by Kais?
Kais v'Chorof ata yitzartam.
It's...
Right.
4 o'clock, not 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we're definitely there. So what is this telling us, my friends? This is telling us, Erev Shabbat, being in a state of, being in a consciousness of yes, of Shabbat, physically, if you don't already, that you definitely should be keeping Shabbat, lighting Shabbat candles, you know, taking on as many mitzvot as possible. But that just, it doesn't just mean on Shabbat, but also in the weekday. When we bring Shabbat into the weekday, when we have that Shabbat consciousness. And what does that mean, the Shabbat consciousness? Of recognizing that within the world itself, that we're able to experience that Hashem is with us, that there is that revelation that is here right now. Yes, it's craziness. And perhaps, and I'm probably talking to myself, but, you know, perhaps like we don't have to know exactly what's going on and how, and things are to go in deeper and to have that deeper sense of emunah, of bitachon, and to go into that level of Shabbat internally, right? Feeling that we are already in that state of mind. So for us, what that means is, again, just summarizing what we were talking about so far. We were talking about merging opposites, that if we want to be able to make it through the birth pains of these days and the craziness that's going on in these days, we have to basically work on ourselves. Working on ourselves is working on our spiritual selves, our emotional selves, our physical selves, and things that we've perhaps ignored and avoided for so long, now is like you basically have to step into it. There's no waiting any longer. It's like now is the time to like step into it. So if you think that you're not able to learn, or you're not able to teach, or to be able to do, you know, to go somewhere to cook and to serve or to volunteer, whatever it is, think again, because we're asked to basically be these two facets of ourselves on an individual level and on a collective level, right? And then we're also asked to go into the mindful space of recognizing that that Mashiach and the times that we're going towards, again, that upgrade in the world, it's birth pains to that, but at the same time, it's from within the world. And actually, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, who is Mashiach going to be like? So they answer, he will be like a Caesar. Like Caesar, what is a Caesar? So actually, the word Caesarian, like King Caesar, and, you know, when we think about the Roman Caesars that were around for 800 years, whatever, why are they named Caesars? Because of their birth. The birth was, it was, what's a cesarean? It's an abnormal birth where the baby has to be extracted from within the mother's belly, not through the natural means of giving birth. That's what cesarean is. So the Talmud says that Mashiach will be either like the Caesar or like a king, a Kesar and Palgi Kesar and Melech. And it's explained that this idea of the Caesar, what is that analogy and what is that about? it's basically saying that there's a baby inside, right? Like basically there's a baby that's about to be born. Now, baby's going to come out. Like there's no choice. Like after 9 months, like it's like it had its time, right? It had its full maturity, we could say. So either it comes out naturally and there's that birth pains that are there, or it will come out through, right, through the cesarean. And that's the idea of being extracted. But then there's going to be that baby that is eventually born, right? What does that mean? And this is what the Shabbat is all about. The Shabbat is basically saying that the God and the world are not two entities, right? Mashiach and the world are not two entities. They're one entity. And the whole world was really created for the revelation of Mashiach. Ruach Elohim merachefet al pnei amayim. The Ramban tells us, Zeruchos shel Mashiach. That right at the beginning of creation, Ruach Elohim merachefet, and in Kabbalah it says merachefet is the rapach nitzotzot, met. That the 288 nitzotzot are met, merachefet, and there's the sparks are within creation, and we're here in exile and throughout exile to lift up the sparks, and those sparks are the sparks of bringing up Mashiach and the revelation of Mashiach that is within existence, because God created an amazing, immense, super connected and intelligent world that we live in, and we're so blessed to live in this existence, right? We see around us and outside of us craziness, and we'll call it the birth pangs of Mashiach, the wars of, but the Talmud tells us that there's an Eitzah, there's an advice that one can follow, and that is the Shabbat. Shabbat teaches us that the spirituality in Hashem and the world are one. It's not two separate things. He created a beautiful world. And we can be in that place of oneg, of pleasure, which really brings us to the place of how do we want to show up in these times? Do we want to show up from a place of anxiety, of fear, of anger, etc.? Or do we want to show up from a place of pleasure, of love, of chesed, of composure? Yes, it's difficult. But if we're connected to that energy of Shabbat, which is the connection of that it's all good, that he's within existence and it's only oneg truly, right? So then I have the capacity to really show up in my interactions, in the relationships that I'm in, and what is called of me in the place that I'm in the higher self of who I am. And that is the consciousness of Mashiach. That is the consciousness of Mashiach. Mashiach is that consciousness of loving kindness, of good, of oneg, of interconnection, right? There's no separation. It's not me or you, right? I saw a picture yesterday. Someone was sent that there are two leaders in the judicial reforms here in Israel, against the reform and for the reform. And remember, like million people like were marching from this side and the other side. So the two leaders were in like the army together, and they're basically hugging each other. It's like a crazy thing. Yeah. You know, they're like, this guy's completely the opposite ideology. The other guy is the completely opposite ideology. But when we come to that place of
saving the Jew nation,
we're all one. It's, yeah. I love you, right? And I'm because I'm coming from a place of oneg. I'm coming from a place of one of Shabbat, because the Shabbat oneg. So therefore, right? Right? That we're saved from Chevlo Shel Mashiach. We're saved from the Chevlo Shel Mashiach. Why? Because we're connected to the Shabbat energy. The Shabbat energy is the energy of what can I serve? How can I be that Shabbat type of a person, right? Of that higher part, the Shabbat person within my life, right? And within my day-to-day, I'm becoming more of the person you could be in, again, Tel Aviv, you could be anywhere in the world, and you are who you, wherever you are, but you're expressing your higher self.
Wow.
And basically in now is the time. And it's difficult. And we're basically working on ourselves now. Like again, like on steroids. And that's what it's called. It's the birth pains. It's about to, something is about to give birth. But we have the choice of not avoiding it and connecting to the good, to the outcome. By once again the learning of Torah and Gemilut Chasadim and kindness, and by the energy of being within the Shabbat energy. And I will say just in closing that the specific learning and the specific Shabbat energy is really the energy of the learning of the inner dimensions of Torah, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai writes in the Zohar, or it says in the Zohar, that with this book we will come out of exile, berachamim, through rachamim. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is called Shabbat. They call him Shabbat because his whole energy during the week was completely Shabbat.
I know that Arosh, the Tanim.
Wow, it was by...
Wow.
It was, they're saying that there was a rocket above Meron.
Okay.
Wow.
And then
it exploded. The inner learning of the inner dimensions of Torah, right? The inner dimensions of the Zohar, of Chassidut, of the Baal Shem Tov, of the Tanya, of the Rabbi Nachman, of all the mystical teachings. You know, we want the Maharal, right? We want to go into illuminating our souls, illuminating who we are, right? By doing what? By being connected to this light, right? To this light of Torah, the light of Shabbat. That state of mind of Shabbat. So,
Rabbi,
yes,
Rabbi, you used a word. I think you said oneg. How do you spell that?
Oneg is O N E G, or in Hebrew Ein Nun Nun Gimel, which is actually okay. The same letters as nega, which means affliction.
Oh.
Yeah, so we learned that it has the same letters, permutation, as nega, because if one is not connected to oneg, pleasure, specifically the pleasure of Shabbat, then there's the affliction, right? God forbid, that they are susceptible to, right? So by putting ourselves, so we have a choice of plugging ourselves into oneg, mm-hmm. oneg Shabbat, or if not, it's very difficult to make sense of what, you know, of what's happening, and we need that, right? We need Shabbat. And so if anyone can, just even possible, there's an idea to light the Shabbat candles even a couple of minutes before the actual coming of Shabbat, and that has such an immense power to it. And there's stories upon stories about people that are ill that by lighting the Shabbat candles a little bit earlier, not, it doesn't have to be that much, but like even 5 minutes earlier, even, you know, it has an effect, because we're inching in from the weekday, we could say, and we're bringing in the Shabbat earlier. And so we're doing it, we're dispelling the darkness, and we're bringing in, and we're taking Shabbat a little bit later, and we're allowing that light to permeate into the weekday. Yes. Yeah. So going into Shabbat earlier and taking it out also later is also an advice for that. Okay, so we're gonna pause over here. And you're welcome, Dora. Amen. And yes, and Am Yisrael Chai, and good news for everyone. And may you all be safe and whole and complete, and working on what we need to work on with pleasure, and as much as possible to really be able to. To be able to rise up to what it is that that we're rising up towards, and we're rising up to great things. And so there's a lot to look forward to. And remember, Ein Yeush Ba'olam. There's no giving up on hope. There's no such thing. And Rabbi Nachman says, Yesh kazeh, there's an idea that kol mitapech letova. Everything could turn around in a blink of an eye. You never know. And that's the story of our makeup. That's the story of the Jewish people, where Abraham and Sarah, they're going to give up. They're going to say, no, it's not possible. And God says, Hashem davar, in this week's parsha, anything not possible? She's this old? Anything's possible. That's us. That's the Jewish people. And that is something which is in our DNA. And that's something that we're giving out to the world. And you have a choice, and the world has a choice to stand with us or crumble, basically, in a lack of clarity and moral clarity, which is happening. So, okay, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Farlas. Thank you, Sally and Michelle. I'm wishing you all a beautiful Shabbat and beautiful week filled with blessings and light, and being that high
some. That high some. Thank you so much, Rabbi. Shabbat Shalom.
Blessings. Pleasure. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Yeah.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.